Well, I'm gonna go ahead and get into the message. I've been studying on this afternoon some and yesterday, and I'm going to ask you if you would. This always scares people, but I'm going to ask you to turn to Joshua chapter 14 and put your finger there. Then when you find that, turn over to Numbers chapter 13. Joshua chapter 14, Numbers chapter 13, where we will read first. All right. In Numbers 13, we're going to start there, beginning at verse 27. Now, the setting here is when Moses sent the 12 spies into the land, and they come back with their report. Now, it says in verse 20, we'll start at verse 26, Numbers 13. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." Chapter 14, verse 24. Read one verse. "But my servant Caleb," that we're in Numbers still, Numbers 14, 24. "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully. I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." Joshua chapter 14. You probably figured out we're looking at Caleb. Verse 6, Joshua 14. I'm reading a little more than usual tonight. "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him." Now, I want you to notice that. It says Jephunneh the Kenizzite. That's important to remember as we get into this. "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakin were there and that the cities were great and fortified. And it may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Last verse. "And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war." Well, if you're a Bible reader, Caleb is a guy that you probably recognize. He seems to me, when I study Caleb, if you read, and I read most of the scripture that concern him, in chapter 15 there's a little bit, and in Judges chapter 1 there's a little bit more concerning Caleb, but not a whole lot more really do we know about him than what we, most of just what we read. But Caleb seems to be a guy that we can relate to. I don't know what it is, he just seems like he's real, he's lifelike, it resonates with my heart because he's a guy that just doesn't give up. He just wouldn't give up. I mean, think about this. As I was studying his life, I'm thinking there's no real miracles related to his life. Nothing particularly special that, you know, was related to his life that he did, you know, that really stands out. The one thing that really stands out is he was a guy who had rock rib faith and just stayed the course. And because he stayed the course, God blessed him. And so I think, just studying his life for a little bit, for a few minutes here tonight, that we can learn something from the life of Caleb. Here, I don't know if you've seen it, but I've seen this commercial a couple of times and it's stuck in my head. And I thought of Caleb when I began to think about Caleb. There's this commercial where, you know, I kind of throw commercials at you every now and then. But this one, it's called, it's about cable, and they go, "We're settlers. We settle." Right? You met the guy, the neighbor comes over. He's like, "Hey, how you doing?" "We're doing well. Would you like to take some home-churned butter home with you?" Or, you know, and it's all about they have old-style wire cable when they could have fast wireless cable. And what do they say? "We don't want that because we're settlers. We settle." You know, apply that spiritually tonight. I was telling my wife, I told her a couple weeks ago, man, there is a message there. We settle. Yeah, sometimes we settle. We really do. Sometimes in our walk with the Lord, we settle for far less than what God wants for us. You know, we settle for a lukewarm heart when God wants us to have a heart, you know, on fire for Him. We settle for an inconsistent prayer life. And you know what happens when you look at prayer as a job or as a chore? It gets inconsistent. But if we would approach prayer as an honor and a privilege to go to the Lord, we'll have a more consistent prayer. Why would we settle for an inconsistent prayer life? Why would we settle for a lack of knowledge when we have a whole book filled with knowledge? Why would we settle for crumbs when we can be eating from the table of God? Why would we settle for a place in Lodibar when we can be sitting at the King's table? Why would we settle for following God from afar, following Him at a distance, when the Bible says to us, "Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you"? Why would we settle for a place in the lowlands? Remember how when Lot and Abraham settled split up, and it says Lot looked down and he saw the plain of Sodom. Why would you settle for the plain where you can be on the mountaintop with God and experience with Him? All too often we settle for far less than what God wants for us in our spiritual life. Caleb is a guy, this is what struck me about him. Caleb is a guy who wouldn't settle for the ordinary. He's a guy that wouldn't settle for less than what he was absolutely sure God wanted for him. Why would we settle for the ordinary when we can have the extraordinary in a relationship with God? That's Caleb. That's why he resonates with me. He just stayed the course. He finished what God had him to do. You know, he's a guy who overcomes some obstacles in his life. Number one, and I pointed out to you, he overcome the obstacle of when you read this now, and I want to read this again, and it's in, I hope you kept your Bible open, in Joshua 14:14, it gives us this again. It says, "Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite." Well, I don't know if you know this or not, if you've ever thought about it. I did a study on this, and the fact of the matter is, Caleb was not full-blooded Jew. Caleb was not a full-blooded Jew. He was, you know, when the children of Israel came up out of Egyptian bondage, you know, the Bible tells us in Exodus 12:38, it says there was a mixed multitude that came up with them out of the land. Even, you see, he overcome a racial problem in his own life. And so he, even though he wasn't full-blooded, even though he wasn't a full-blooded Jew, he decided he was not going to be put on the back burner, and he was going to have a relationship with God no matter what. He didn't allow it to stop him. And probably very early in his life, he decided he wasn't going to miss on the promises of God. He wasn't going to miss out on the presence of God. He wasn't going to miss out on the protection of God. And he wasn't going to miss out on the power of God. And so he went through the ritual of circumcision and what it took to become a Jew. And he was adopted in to the family of Judah. Isn't that amazing? This guy named Caleb, he overcomes some obstacles in his life. And number one, that was it. And think about this. You see, Caleb experienced, because of his stand for God early in life, he started out early following the Lord. How important is it to start out early following the Lord? So important. I was telling the preacher this morning about I was telling him how we're blessed with kids, and I always go to our 93-year-old World War II veteran, Brother Haven. And I was telling him how he got saved at, he was about 88 or 87 when he got saved, somewhere around there, got baptized when he was about 90. And he said, boy, you know, he said, people don't usually get saved that late in life. They don't. Man, I'm telling you, how great is it to have all of these kids here and get them taught about Jesus right now? It's so important. Caleb was a guy that started out early in life following the Lord. Caleb was a guy who was there. Think about this. He was there when the death angel passed by in Exodus chapter 12. He was there when the blood was applied to the doorpost and the sign. He was there when God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He experienced some wonderful things with God. He was there when they got to the Red Sea and they looked behind them and the Egyptian army was about to close in. And they looked ahead and there was nowhere to go. But God opened up the Red Sea and God's people went across on dry ground. He was there. He saw the pillar of fire in the night and the cloud by day. He was there when man a rain from heaven and they went out and picked it up in the morning. He drunk the water from the rock at Meribah when those waters were bitter. Listen, he experienced all that God had because early in life he decided he was going to be a follower of God. He was there in Exodus 17 when the children of Israel, Moses told Joshua to go fight the Amalekites. He said, going down there and I'm going to go up on the mountain and Aaron and Hur and I will pray. And it says that as long as Moses held his hands up and prayed, Joshua won the battle. Well, I got to believe Caleb was one of them men of war down there with him. You see, he experienced very early in life and all through his earlier years the power of God at work. And so he overcame some things in his life. He overcame racial prejudice. He was one of the 12 spies that went into the land. When everybody else gave a discouraging report, I read it to you. Everybody else said, we can't go in there. We can't win this battle. They're too much for us. Let me tell you, Caleb was not going to settle for wilderness wanderings when he knew the God that he served was able to defeat the giants. He recalled all those experiences with God. He recalled all of those things God had did. And remember what he said? Let's go up at once. Let's go now. That crowd was saying in Psalm 78, remember that? It says they looked at it and they said, can God? Can God help us? Can God do this? Caleb looked at it and said, God can. Let me tell you, one taste of a Canaan land grape, and he never wanted to go back. One foot into a Canaan land's promise was enough for him to say, I never want to go back. How about you? Boy, listen, when you get a taste of God in your life, you don't want to go back. He didn't want to go back to the leeks and the onions and the garlic of Egypt. They were willing to, but he had a taste of the promised land. He saw the hills and the mountains. He experienced the grass of Canaan land, tasted the grape, and bless God, he didn't want to go back. Let me tell you, there's nothing to go back to. The Bible says, taste and see. David said, taste and see that God is good. Taste and see. His voice was the only voice recorded in moving forward. Now, I find that interesting because you see, Joshua was one of the 12. And what I find interesting is Caleb. Now, Joshua was with him. We know that. He was on his side because the Bible tells us he was one. He was two out of the 10 that said was willing to go. But it's Caleb's voice that's recorded It says, we can do this. You know, when everybody else seen giants and grasshoppers, Caleb seen a mighty God. When everybody else saw an enemy that was fortified in a big city, Caleb seen a city that could be reduced to rubble because God can. Caleb saw victory when everybody else was looking at defeat. He saw a defeated foe. Everybody else saw the power of the enemy, but Caleb, he saw the power of God. What do you see when you look at the enemies you face? What do you see when you look at life's problems? Man, listen. Don't talk about how big your problems are. Talk about how big God is. When you put your problems in relation to how big God is, let me tell you, they're nothing compared to God. Listen, we're able to overcome whatever you're facing in life, whatever your problem is, whatever your battle is. Thank God we have victory in Jesus. Greater is He in me than he that is in the world. We're more than conquerors through Christ. Boy, I wish I could preach this. I'm telling you, this is good. I'm serious. We have victory tonight. Caleb knew it. He said, we don't have to go back. And he wasn't willing to settle for wandering in the wilderness. But everybody else was. 10 people said, we can't do this. We can't win the battle. Can you imagine forgetting all that God did already in their life? Forgetting all his power and all his victory. Not willing to move forward for him. Well, he said, we can. We can. You know what I like about that? They didn't get a committee up. Caleb didn't say, let's do a study on this. Let's talk about this. He just said, let's go now. Let's go at once. God's a God of action. Let's do it now. Well, he overcame some things. Not only did he come some racial prejudice, but he overcome his peers, and I already explained that to you. You see, they was all saying no. He was saying yeah. You know, do you let peers in your life? Do you let other people rob your joy? Do you let other people drag you down in your life? Think about that. You know, wouldn't it be hard to go into a land with 12 people and you come back? Now, and again, Joshua was with him, but it doesn't record any words of him. You know, going, that's right, Caleb. Hey, man, let's go, brother. You know, I'm sure he was, but it doesn't record it. Wouldn't it be hard to go against all the other people when they're going, we're not able to do this? You put a committee of 12 together and there's only really one speaking up to do it. That's tough, right? That's tough. But he didn't let his peers dictate his stand for God. If it meant standing alone, Caleb was willing to stand alone for God. And I see some qualities in him, some attributes I like. He was independent. I just wrote some things down. He was independent. He was willing to stand alone. You know, sometimes when you're serving the Lord on your job, maybe even in your family, sometimes you have, you know, I mean your extended family. Sometimes you might feel like you're standing alone. Sometimes you gotta, you know, well, you know, they'll say, well, you know, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to. Yes, I do. And you got to take a stand on those things. He was truthful. He told it like it was. They didn't, you know, the truth sometimes is hard to tell people when they don't want to hear it. But Caleb told the truth. We can do this. God can do this through us. We can do it with his help. He had courage. Man, it takes fortitude in 2016 to stand for the Lord. Do you believe that? It does. It takes courage to stand for the Lord when the world is putting you down and the job seems, you know, you're outnumbered on the job and outnumbered at school and outnumbered in the neighborhood and outnumbered with your group of friends. It seems like you're always outnumbered. But remember this. Us and God, listen, we're the majority. Greater is he in us. We're never outnumbered with God. That's what the servant thought in Elisha's day. And he goes out and he says, oh, man of God, they got us surrounded. What did Elisha say? God opened his eyes and he looked and he saw the armies of God surrounded the army of Assyria. Let me tell you, God is real. And we're never alone. He had courage because he drew it from God. He was unselfish. I find interesting about Caleb that he has such a prominent role in such a pivotal point of history in Israel's history. I mean, they're in Kadesh Barnea. They're on the edge of the Promised Land.
They're ready to go in. The 12 spies go in. This is pivotal. And when he comes back, he's the guy speaking up. But, you know, the rest of his days and you know, through the book of Joshua, he's pretty quiet. Joshua takes the lead. He's the guy that follows Moses. He's the guy that takes up, you know, the mantle of leadership from Moses. And he follows unselfishly. You know how many people follow the Lord and work for the Lord and labor for the Lord and teach Sunday school Sunday after Sunday? Remember that preacher talked about that Sunday school teacher today, 45 years teaching? I imagine if we thought about it, we probably got some around here that might have taught that long. Long time. Sister Gloria, I don't know how many years she's been teaching, but she's been teaching Sunday school a long time. Behind the scenes, impacting your children, impacting young lives. I'm telling you, I'm glad for people like that. Caleb was a guy who was unselfish. He was a man, you know, sometimes Joshua was the leader. Sometimes God just needs people to follow, right? Caleb followed God. Sometimes we just got to be faithful and follow God and just be consistent. And let me tell you, we got some folks here that are unselfish and just follow the Lord. Well, he overcome racial prejudice. He overcome his own peers that would say, "What's the matter with you? You're crazy. We can't do this." But I want to tell you the key to his success, and it's a no-brainer, really. It's repeated in both books. In Numbers 13, I read it to you. In Joshua 14, it says it three times. It says it in verse 8, "But I wholly follow the Lord my God." And it says it two more times after that. The key to Caleb's success was the fact that he wholly, I mean, think about that. You know what that means? He was all in. He was all in. He didn't get up one day and decide he was just not going to follow the Lord that day, and maybe a couple days later he's back in. He wasn't in and out. He was all in. I wholly followed the Lord. And I love the way that's worded. It says, "My God." It was personal. Caleb made it personal in his life. He could have said, "I believe like Joshua did. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He wholly followed God. And because he wholly followed God, that's why he was successful in his life. And we see that in how God blessed him. Now think about this, and I want to give you this, and getting close to closing here. But think about this. God blessed him with a long life. He says here in verse 10, verse 9, he says, "So Moses swore on that day, saying, sure the land will be yours." Verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years." He's now 85 years old. He was 40 years old when he went into Kadesh Barnea. He started serving the Lord when he was younger. You know, he come out, he was part of the mixed multitude. Somewhere in Egypt, he started serving the Lord. Cast his lot in with God's people. And now God has blessed him with a long life. Isn't that good? You know what? You know what the first commandment with a promise is, kids? Listen. You know what it is? Honor your father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. Now, that doesn't guarantee that you're going to live a long life. But dishonoring your mom and dad pretty much, well, it might guarantee you won't. Yeah. Some mom and dad, you might feel like taking them out every now and then, you know. He blessed him with a long life. He gave him long. Let me tell you something, church. And you know this. Let me just remind you. Our days are given to us by God. And I told you last Sunday, let me ask you if you've done this at all this week. Take your pastor's advice if you didn't last week. Take it tonight. When you wake up in the morning, give your first thought to God. Give your first thought to Him. When you open your eyes, just look up. I was listening to the preacher on Moody, Erwin Lutzer, the other day, and he said, "I woke up yesterday morning," he said, and whenever he preached this, but he was talking about it on a Saturday, and he said, I woke up about 5:30, I think he said, but he said, I prayed for 30 minutes before I got out of bed. I thought, man, that is awesome. I'm telling you, give God the first thought of your life, of your day and your life, but your day. When you wake up, give that thought to God. You'll have a better day. You will have a better day. You will experience God's presence with you along the way. Well, I'm chasing a rabbit there. All right, he gave him long life, gave him continued strength. Notice what he says. He says in verse 11, I'm as strong this day as on the day Moses sent me. He said, I'm 85. He probably, if he could, he'd have said, feel that muscle. Feel it. You know? Us dads do that to their kids sometimes, you know? That's probably what Caleb would have done. Joshua, I'm 85 years old. Just feel that. I'm strong. I'm as strong at 85 as I was at 40. God's blessed me. I say, hallelujah. God's blessed me. Hey, listen, any strength we have, any day we have, God is the giver of life. God is the strength of our lives. He said, he's given me strength. I tell folks, I run into folks and they'll say, how's your dad? I know a lot of people say, how's your dad doing? I always say this. I say, he's doing good. He's still climbing trees and deer hunting. I hope I'm climbing trees when I'm 77 years old. Amen. My mom will probably be mad at me too if I am. And my wife. She's always on him about climbing trees. All right. Long life, continued strength, and an inheritance in verse 12. He said, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Now, here's what I like about this. This is again, he wasn't going to settle for the lowlands. Why should we settle for the plains when we can have the mountain? But notice this mountain. He says, give me this mountain in verse 12. But he says, you heard in that day how the Anakims were there. The cities were great. They're fortified. You know what Caleb's saying? I'm still strong, and I know the giants are still up there, but bless God, I know I can take the mountain at 85. He wasn't going to settle. Yes, it might have been a battle. There might have been some skirmishes on the way up to take this mountain, but he wasn't going to run from a battle. He knew he could overcome in the battle. Church, we're going to have battles. We're going to have skirmishes. We're going to have days when we don't feel real spiritual, but keep climbing the mountain. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. He wanted the high ground. I'll take the high ground in my spiritual life. Never do we ever want to settle for the lower ground. We want the high ground in our relationship with God. Well, God gave them victory. We know that in Joshua 15. I won't read it, but in Joshua 15, verse 13 on down, he wins the battles. He gets the mountain. And then in verse 15 of chapter 14, he gives them rest. And it says the land had rest from the war. Boy, I love this guy, Caleb. I really do. I want to be like him. I want to have victory in him. I want to be like him when I'm 85. Don't you? I do. When I'm 85, I hope I can tell my grandkids, feel that muscle. I'm strong still. And it all comes from God. Listen, let me just give you a few takeaways in closing. See, Canaan land is a picture. We call it heaven. But I really believe Canaan land is more of an allegory for victorious Christian living. Because you see, in Canaan land, there's battles. And when we get to heaven, there won't be any battles. But in our Christian life, we have battles. We have battles all the time. But there's more victories than defeats. Amen? There's more victories than defeats. And he knew that. That's why he wanted to get into Canaan land. Was a gift from God that was to be possessed, enjoyed, and dwelt in. That's what we do in our spiritual life. We possess it. We dwell in it. And we can enjoy living for the Lord. Let me tell you, I didn't enjoy living for the devil, but I've enjoyed every minute of living for God. The devil never did nothing for me, but God has. This is our inheritance. Caleb is an example of a man who wouldn't settle for mediocrity. He was an example of a man, we might even say he was a persevering saint. He started following the Lord in his younger days. in his middle years. He was took a leadership role in going into the Canaan land to spy it out. And in his later years, at age 85, he still was in the battle. Church, there's no place to quit. He's an example that tells us there's no place to quit. I was thinking of Brother Tim was telling us this morning about that preacher. He died when he was 99, and he was still preaching. Think about, men that stay in it. Think about Brother Lester, getting up in years, but still preaching, still pastoring. There's nowhere to quit. You don't get to a place where you retire and just set out on God. No matter where you are, where you are in life, or where you are geographically, there's a place to serve God. There's an area to serve God. There is nowhere to quit. In the Bible, old age is broken up into three stages. Ages 6 to 70 is called, it's referred to as a commencement of old age. Ages 70 to 80, you remember reading hoary head, H-O-A-R-Y, hoary headed. That's called a hoary headed age. And then it's said about Samuel, 80 and above, well stricken in years. When you get above 80, you're called well stricken in years. Well, when most people were sitting in a rocking chair watching daisies grow, Caleb was taking them out. Last thing, you know what his example is to us? Like Paul, he gives us an example of finishing well. I want to finish well, don't you? Well, he overcomes some things in his life. He overcome his beginnings and served the Lord at a younger age. He overcome his peers. He overcome them saying, no, we can't do this. We don't want to do that. He overcome all those things. To be a saint that is mentioned at the age of 85 takes a mountain in the promised land, wins the battle. Let me ask you, let's get a song ready. Let me ask you today, are there some obstacles in your life that you need to overcome? Are there some areas that you're battling with that you seemingly you just have had a hard time with them? Now, this is serious now. Listen, this is serious stuff. If you're battling with something, God's been dealing with you about it. You know what? You really need to just lay it at God's feet. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. And say, Lord, I just give this to you. I can't win this battle alone. That's what Caleb did. We're able to overcome. Why? Because God makes us overcomers. If you're struggling with something today, I want you to really think about this. Bring it to the Lord and just lay it at his feet. If there's some areas that you're battling, just give it to him. I want you to be an overcomer. I want you to be like Caleb. I want you to be a victor in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful crowd. Thank you for the word of God, for this great example, this man named Caleb. Thank you for his life and what we can learn from it. May we take just a nugget home with us tonight to help us along in our Christian walk. That's all I desire, Lord, to help folks along in their Christian walk and to see folks saved. And, Lord, you know our hearts tonight. You know where we're at. You know, God, if we're right with you or not. We can't hide from you, Lord. You see everything. And may we just come clean tonight with you. If there's some struggling, Lord, touch them tonight. If there's one lost, touch them tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.